Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
Probably the easiest thing I've ever done. The medication comes in the mail and it's very easy to use. I've been able to live my normal lifestyle and I've lost 20 pounds already and I've never felt better. It changed my life.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Hey, it's Rob. It was an amazing week of Survivor, and we had incredible podcasts with Christian Hubicki and Steven on the Know-It-Alls. Make sure you catch those as well. Plus, The Circle was back this week with an AI contestant. Taryn, Mike Bloom, and Puya broke down the first week of drops from The Circle and on Renap. Who did Sam Moore find for the big guest? Find out on this week's Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV.
Friends, that beautiful theme song is Pod Friends by the one and only Will from America. I'm Matt Scott, Matt Scott GW on social media, and I'm the co-host of the Wrestling Wrap Up with the one and only Mari Forth, as well as the host of Pod Friends. And as we start out, I just want to ask you genuinely, how are you doing? Come on, I'm asking you, the listener, whoever's hearing my voice right now, how are you doing? Let me know. Feel free to talk back out loud. Okay, I'm listening. Oh, yep. Great. Oh, no, not. Oh, gosh. Yeah, I understand. Oh, my God. That's awesome. Congratulations. Look at that. Ooh, okay. We'll have to talk more about that later. Thank you so much for letting me know how you're doing, everybody. It's so great to have you here. And one reason I ask is because one of the questions that I want not only you all to think about, but really all of us, myself included, to think about in this podcast this week is how can you more boldly make and take space for yourself, for who you are, for what you need? That is really the theme that comes up, or one of the themes that comes up in my conversation with this week's guest. But before diving into this week's guest, I just want to just take some time to mention the passing of none other than Dak, aka Daquan Wizard, who was so pivotal in making the RHAP community a community and what it is, taking it beyond the podcast to something that's interactive, something that's really inclusive and creates space for people to get to know each other and to form bonds and for this community to be the life-changing thing that it is. And the thing that's so meaningful for me when it comes to Pod Friends and just talking about Daquan is that like Daquan's the type of person that I wish I could have had on Pod Friends and whose story I wish that we could share, because Daquan was such a like pivotal part of bringing people together, such a great supporter of me and the other podcasters, and such a great friend to so many. While I didn't have the chance to work with Daquan on, you know, any watch parties directly, even though we did host one with the Wrestling Wrap Up, Daquan has been amazing in terms of getting people like this week's guest, Kirsten, like the first Pod Friends guest, Taryn, and also Puya, post-show recaps. Rob has a podcast up and running on Twitch and with Discord, just connecting with communities. And making this the space that we want and need it to be. And so I just want to send a lot of love, not only to Daquan, but also to anyone who is kind of grieving his loss and their loss of him. And I think it's really interesting. I recorded this interview prior to Daquan's passing with Kirsten. And again, Kirsten, someone who knew him well and who will be part of a memorial stream that is coming up. But, you know, in the conversation that we had, we talked about grief, we talked about loss. I think that if there's a silver lining to the fact that I'm releasing this conversation now, I hope it's that people who aren't sure how to grieve or navigate loss, like Kirsten and I have had to do as we talk about in our lives, hopefully they could benefit and gain something from this conversation. But I would absolutely encourage everyone on Monday, February 21st, 2022, to tune into Remembering Daquan Wizard at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific, over on Taryn Armstrong's Twitch channel, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. And that's going to be a great place to learn more about Daquan, to see people who knew him and loved him, really celebrating and sharing his journey and his story and just memories of the phenomenal person that he was, not only in this community, but just more broadly. And I can't encourage you enough to check that out. So I'll include links to that in the show notes. And just in case you're wondering, anything that I'm mentioning, any of the links or plugs that I have, check out the show notes wherever you're listening, wherever you're watching, and you could check out some of the things that I'm encouraging you to do. Just a little bit of a tip. But you know, I mentioned this week's guest is none other than Kirsten McInnes. And, you know, I think it's interesting that she's this week's guest, not only because of the connection with Daquan, as I mentioned, but also because she is the one person that I've interviewed for season one of Pod Friends that actually was interviewed as part of the Taryn Show a few weeks back. And yet, A few years back, imagine that. And it was such a different time in her life and where she was. And, you know, really when the idea came to me to interview Kirsten, I couldn't say no. I had to make space to have Kirsten here because I've been wanting to have this conversation with her for so long. I love Kirsten. I admire her. I love her strength, but I also love how she has this heart of gold. And you know, as we discussed, similar to Maggie Morgan, extremely hot and funny, just saying, putting that up here at the top in case you don't get in that deep immediately. But in this episode, we talk about some fun stuff like brunch, Enneagrams, personality assessments, being 29, because we're both 29 years old, reflecting a little on her growth since her experiences with Big Brother Canada, and just more of her background as a podcaster, as a streamer, a woman in this RHAP community, and more of her backstory too, growing up and being raised as a Seventh-day Adventist, and just some of the family conflict that she experienced around 4 and 5 years old in particular. And I talked about grief. I talked about that connection, but I also just want to make the point that, you know, 5 years ago, on March 8th, 2017, I lost my dad to a rare form of leukemia. And coincidentally, almost 5 years ago, July 2017, Kirsten lost her mom due to a brain tumor, which my dad also had. And we talk about that. We talk about our experiences. And I think it's important for people to be able to open up and take space for their experiences and for their grief and for who they are. And, you know, I joined a grief group after I lost my dad in 2017, like immediately. And that was so pivotal for me. But I would encourage anyone, like, if you are grieving someone's loss, like, take space and time for that. You could take days, hopefully you could take days away from the things that you do, or some time away from the things that you do, because your mental health is just as important, if not more important in some ways, than your physical health. And so I mentioned Kirsten's mom's experience with brain tumors, and I'm including a link to the Brain Tumor Foundation of Canada in the show notes. But I also am including a link to a phenomenal organization, especially for young people grieving, called The Dinner Party. And I was actually part of it. I hosted a dinner here in DC as part of The Dinner Party, but I just want to give a shout out to them too, because they have a lot of great resources and encouragement for people who, young people especially, who aren't really sure how to navigate grief and loss, because that's not a thing that a lot of us have to do, unfortunately, until we do. But sending so much love to Kirsten, so much thanks to Kirsten, and also just love the way that she thanks those who have helped enable her journey. But, you know, I also want to say that before I get into this ring intro for Kirsten and shout her out, that I had so much fun doing this interview. You could hear it along the way. There were some parts that I was going to cut out that I just left in, as you'll hear from the very beginning. And so we get into some deep stuff, but we also have a lot of laughs and it's a lot of fun. And I just, again, I can't thank Kirsten enough. But before her ring intro, I just want to plug some things really quickly. First of all, if you're hearing the sound of my voice, like you, whoever's listening to me right now, you, I have a special request for you, especially as we release the last few episodes of this Pod Friends season. And it is to please, please, please subscribe to the podcast, leave 5 stars, leave a review. A few people have done that so far. But if you love Pod Friends, if you want more Pod Friends in the future, I've gotten all of these guest suggestions from all of you, which has been phenomenal. And I just want to make sure that Pod Friends still exists going forward after Survivor 42 in the off season of Survivor. And so I would love if you leave a rating, if you leave a subscription, if you leave a review. You could pause the episode and do that right now, but that will go a long way to helping ensure that Pod Friends still exists in the future, that it goes beyond this little 8-episode season 1 run, and also to help other people find the podcast. And so I also just want to give a special shout out to some of the people who've left reviews. The very first review I received, which is 5 stars, says, "I'm honored to be the first review for this amazing podcast. Matt is an amazing host." I really shouldn't read the compliments to myself. Maybe I'll skip over those in the future. My favorite so far was the one with Brooklyn Zed. I did not know who they were going in and left feeling very educated on gender and what it's like being non-binary. That was a phenomenal review. And thank you so much, DavidCat777, for that review. Another review, "I love learning more about my fave rap podcasters. Straight, simple," from Gretel. Thank you so much, Gretel, for that review. And I see another review, I believe from the great Jason Reed. And thank you, Jason, for the compliments on my interviewing. Each interview has felt fresh and different so far. Great mix of personalities interviewed. Can't wait to hear more. Thank you so much. And big shout out to Jason Reed and shout out to Married at First Sight podcast, him with Asia. And I also just want to plug Pod Friends on social media. Follow Pod Friends at Hey Pod Friends. Email Pod Friends, podfriends@robhiswebsite.com, and also suggest guests for Pod Friends. Link in the show notes, but you could go to bit.ly/podfriendsnom. Whew, that was a long intro, a lot to cover. Take a breath, take some space. And without further ado, let me introduce our phenomenal guest. Making her way to the podcast, hailing from Victoria, British Columbia, Canada, she's a brunch connoisseur, a Vancouver Island explorer, an avid reader, but you know her best as a Twitch streamer and prolific podcaster, bringing us everything from Hot Dummies on Islands to BoJack Horsepod to Kowski Cast to Dream Daddy to Riverdale to everything you care about. She may say she's a little too spicy, pricey for the people here, but I'll say she's got a heart of gold, and I don't know what we did to deserve her. Please give a big surf's up to Kirsten McInnes. This will not be in the podcast. There's no way. Yeah. No one wants to hear me talking about the podcast on the podcast. And like, I don't want to hear that.
No,
either.
People so love that shit. People love a look behind the curtain.
They do. They'll get the look behind the curtain, I'm sure, as we like get started and go along.
Let me close my tabs so I'm not distracted.
How many tabs do you have open right now? Do you have like a general estimate?
No, I had three. I had three tabs open. Now I have one tab open.
Not like 40 tabs.
I am not a keep your tabs kind of gal.
I am
scorched earth.
That could have been like the focus of this conversation. Because
how many tabs do you have open?
Oh, like three, right? Well, no, I have two. Wait a minute. There was one hiding. I have four tabs open right now.
Oh, that's nothing. Some people have 30 at all times.
No, but I've been there. It's only because we're streaming that I was like, okay, let me just close my tabs. It's also Monday, so I didn't have too many to open. But Kirsten, I want to ask you a question to start us out.
Okay, let's go.
If you, like let's dive into the fantasy. This is all about the Kirsten fantasy.
I love that.
If you had, I know that you're a fan of brunch.
Yeah.
Could you describe to me what your ideal brunch setup would be?
Okay. So there is a restaurant in Victoria that has mimosa towers. Huh? And I want the mimosa tower.
Wait.
Like
stacked.
It's like stacks on stacks of mimosas.
You've done this before.
No, I've never had the mimosa tower before, but I want it really bad. Okay.
That seems like literally like an accident waiting to happen.
Yeah, no. It's mimosas. It's champagne. What's going to happen?
It's a tower of mimosas. You knock them over.
Oh my God. That actually does sound like something I would do. I've never seen the mimosa tower, so I cannot describe to you exactly how it looks, but the concept of a mimosa tower is very appealing to me. Mimosas are kind of the center of a brunch for myself. I love a mimosa flight.
Yes.
I've done that a few times.
Yes.
So that's the mimosas are important. That's just to get that out of there.
You've got the drink order in.
The drink order's in. But also you have to be like, it's like gorgeous, gorgeous girls have three beverages at brunch. You have your mimosa, your water, your coffee. You have to have the Holy Trinity.
I do. You need the water, you need the coffee. It's good to keep them separate, but I get what you're saying. Like taking your turn with each of them.
You have to have them all there. I'm very boring when it comes to like brunch or breakfast food because I kind of like Rob Sestrino don't really like food, but like in a different way. Cause I feel like Rob doesn't like food and that it's like, you could put food in front of him. He'll eat it. He's going to just move on from his life and not think about it.
Yeah.
I have like crazy deep-seated anxiety about food at all times because I have like major texture issues with food. So I'm like extremely picky, but to the point where it's like, not just like, oh, Kirsten's picky. It's like definitely mental illness. And so then people will be like, oh, that's what you're eating. Oh, you don't like that. Oh. And it's like, so then going out to eat becomes like a huge source of anxiety because like I can always find something at any restaurant. But sometimes that something is just french fries. And like, I'm fine with that. And I'll go home and I'll have some vegetables or whatever later. But the people you're with will be like, you can't just have that.
Oh my gosh.
I physically can't eat the other food here. I'm sorry. I can't help you. So then at brunch, I'm basic. I like a waffle, but no whipped cream on the waffle. Same. I like syrup. I like fruit. Mm-hmm. Whipped cream is just not for me.
Not right.
Or like
you don't want like powdered sugar on your waffle.
I'll take it or leave it.
Okay.
Like I'm fine if it's there, but I don't need it. Like I'm not. Everything I've described has been very sweet, but I'm actually not like a massive sweet tooth.
Yeah.
So like it's fine, but. Or like I'll have like scrambled eggs and hash browns and be like, yes, this is brunch. And everyone's like, that's not brunch. Well, like, I'm enjoying my life.
Is there anything else that you need to have in your brunch food wise?
Anything else you need to have? I mean, there's got to be some kind of like a potato product always. That's like the vibe.
You get your like your you can have your tater tots, your hash browns, your other things, your potato things.
Shredded hash brown. What's your favorite kind of hash brown?
No, I'm not a big fan. See, this is the thing.
Don't tell me you don't like potatoes.
No, I do like potatoes. I'm not big on eggs. So like I would skip when food comes with like, ooh, you have your eggs with it. I'm like, no. Hold the eggs, leave it. It's okay. Fine. I don't need that in my life right now. But no, I mean, I'm okay with the shredded. I like a little like a little hash brown.
Those are good. Like the little ones, right?
Type of things.
Yeah, those are pretty good.
I think there's something to that. This is really interesting. I hope people are like really loving this conversation.
They absolutely will. I went on like a 15-minute tangent about roasted vegetables on my BoJack Horseman podcast, mm-hmm. and people were all about it. So I'm sure everyone's going to love this.
Did they eat it up?
They ate it up. They were eating.
No. Okay. Well, you know what? We're gonna dive in. The people will be eating today because we're gonna dive into talking with you about your story. And like, to be honest, Kirsten, you are one of the special few because you've been interviewed on the Taryn Show. You were there. I was like, I need Kirsten on this first season of Pod Friends for my own sanity, just to dive in. And like one reason is because literally like everything you were describing about food is such a, it's not the perfect example of this, but it's an example of something that I feel like happens where you just like told us about your relationship with food. Mental health was part of it. I just skimmed over that and I'm letting you know, Kirsten, I'm not letting you off the hook. I'm not skimming over things. I'm going to go into the things, whatever those are.
And I'm always happy to go there. Like, true. Like, it really, I'll go any which way. I'm a Sagittarius. I like to go on a journey. I like to philosophize.
Yes.
It's who I am.
Well, I was going to ask you, because I know that you're someone who's like aware of those, all of the things like your horoscope, your Enneagram, probably your Myers-Briggs, your sign and what that all means, which is ties in with your horoscope. Who are you based on those things? Or what do you like know about yourself based on those things? Maybe that's a good place to start.
Okay.
Well, and it's okay to cry on this podcast.
Oh my God. Matt's like, I want to make you cry, and it's okay if you do. It's really hard because I think, so the way I feel about like personality assessment type stuff is it's actually tied to like how I feel about reality TV as well, right? Yeah. So like, I find a lot of joy in looking at all of these systems and ways of kind of explaining and classifying yourself, but in the larger picture of how does that fit with other people? How can you, you know, connect with other people and build relationships based on having that knowledge? And I think, and that's how I watch like reality TV as well, is that I love watching social dynamics and kind of seeing how things work and kind of thinking, oh, what would I do? How would I fit kind of thing? That's just how my brain works on it. But I think some people like personality assessment and reality TV because they don't understand like how people and social situations work, and they like want to learn how it is. And so they're just looking for something that can help neatly package and explain how people are and how the world works, which is like, it's just not how that works. Like there is no one way. Like people will often say stuff like, oh, I'm a quote unquote bad adult, or oh, I'm not coping properly with this thing. And what I always say to everyone is like, there's no roadmap. There's no one right way to do anything. There's no one right path. And so I just think up top, very important to think about like personality assessments and those kinds of things as like, these are one piece and one part, and no one system is going to fully explain how it all fits together. But if we're gonna talk about it, so astrology wise, I have a Sagittarius sun, a Sagittarius moon, and an Aquarius rising. So basically, I'm a sociopath.
Ooh.
No, I'm not. Not really.
The people. Oh my gosh, this is like that's the clip for social media. red flag.
But so the way The way I think about it, and I know more about Sagittarius than I do about other signs, but Sagittarius is the philosopher of the astrology, like always looking for new information, looking for the next thing. And so that can kind of manifest in like jumping from thing to thing to thing, can be seen as flighty, can be seen as flaky, and like very adventurous and not super stable. And though that is two of my big three, I don't really feel that way. Like, on one hand, I am always kind of ready to cut and run and go to the next thing, but I also just really value and seek stability, which I think comes, well, I mean, obviously comes from like life, but if we're going to look at it from an astrological lens, it comes, I have a lot of Capricorn placements as well. And so Capricorn is very much like wants control, wants to know how things work, wants to be in charge, work very hard, like work ethic is like a big thing there. So I feel like those are two like major parts of my personality that are always kind of at war with each other of like, why can't it just happen? And on the other hand, being like, no, like we have to work really, 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 really hard, harder than anyone else to also make things happen, right? So like, for example, today I took a half day of vacation from work so that I could work in the morning. So I woke up this morning, worked all morning, at the midday break, had my shower, got ready for all of this. Now we're recording. Once this is done, I will be streaming over on my Twitch channel for Puya's Fall Guys tournament, which had like I can't make tomorrow work because I have to work overtime at my real job. Right. So I'm doing that. And then once that's over, I'm recording with Lindsay for BoJack Horsepod. So I'm doing all of that today.
Damn.
So it's just like, I do work really hard, right? But at the same time, I'm like, oh, why can't it just happen? Why can't my Twitch just grow? Why can't it? Like, it's like, no, obviously that's not how it works. Like, you have to show up and put in the work. So it's like, those are two sides of me that are at war, which then feeds into like the Enneagram, where I'm an Enneagram type 8, which people go listen to the podcast with Chappelle and Rob. Like, you'll understand way more what that means than what I could tell you here today. I am not expert. I'm not an expert on Enneagram.
I was
going to
say, I'm so confused and overwhelmed when it comes to Enneagram. I listened to that podcast twice. Chappelle has like talked with me about my Enneagram. I've been like, Chappelle, I don't know if I'm a 3 or a 9 or a what, like a 2 or whatever. So, oh my God, but you're an Enneagram 8.
Yes.
What does that mean?
So I'm an 8. You know? And so from what I know about an Enneagram 8 is the 8's like core fear is losing control, right? So you don't want to be controlled. And it's also often linked with kind of like an activism type approach. Like normally 8's will have some sort of cause or like really care about doing the right thing or making like trying to make the world like a better place is kind of like a big thing that a lot of 8s have. A lot of the misconceptions of 8s are like, oh, 8s are bullies. 8s are like trample all over people. 8s like don't care. But and like, I mean, sure, I probably sometimes can be all of those things, but I think everybody can be those things sometimes, right? Yeah. But when the thing about Enneagram is also how you have like the different relationships with different numbers when you're in stress versus when you're doing your best. When an 8 is like performing well, we exhibit the positive traits of a 2, which is like the one that's all about like connection, people, empathy, doing things for others, caring about people, right? So it's not really fair to be like, oh, 8s are bullies. And then when you're in stress, you move to a 5, which is the one where the way it manifests in me is like compiling information. So if I'm like super in stress or super like in crisis, I'm going to be looking up to try and understand as much as possible about that. And that manifests. I know there was an issue last year where there were some people on Reddit that were not being very nice about me, which has happened from time to time. And someone was making all these statements of, well, this happened and this person said this about you and this tweet exists and blah, blah, blah. And I looked up all the tweets and I was like, well, here's all the tweets between me and this person in the history of forever. Show me where that interaction happened. Like, it's not, and it's not, and it's like, you don't need to engage with that. You don't need to compile that information. Like, you just need to walk away from the trolls. sometimes I can do it, sometimes I can't. But yeah, I don't know. I'm just like, I think we're all just kind of trying to figure out who we are, right? And that's like how it all kind of fits. That's my current perception. I don't know.
No, that's so interesting. I feel like I could just like sit back and listen. And like, I encourage people to like listen to what you're saying, because there's so much there. And I think one thing that's interesting is just from what you've said at first, that there's the like the side of you, or at least from an astrological perspective, mm-hmm. the side of you that's more flighty. And yet there's also this side that's seeking stability. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of thinking about your journey. And again, I mentioned, you know, you did your interview with the Taryn Show, and that's kind of top of mind for me, even though that was like 4 to 5 years ago or whatever that was.
Yeah, that was, it's almost been 4 years. And like that interview was recorded at not a good time in my life. I don't really remember like a 6 month period of 2018, just from like how poorly I was doing. And so I don't really remember that interview, but, and I'm happy with that interview. I'm glad it's out there, and I encourage people to go back and listen to it by all means. But I think it's important for people to know that that interview is a snapshot of me at like one of the worst times of my entire life. Mm-hmm. And, a lot has changed. A lot has changed since then.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, around the time that you did that, because are you 29 now?
I'm 29. Yeah, we're the 29. Same age.
I'm also 29.
We?
Yeah. Yeah, cuz I know you're 92. You're 92, baby. So, the thing I think that's interesting is just like our like literally I'm not a neuroscientist. I don't know anything about this except for what I think I know, which is just like about brain development. And like back then, your brain wasn't even fully developed. It was still growing, still processing things. I think about where I was at around the same age, which doesn't feel like it was that long ago
in
a lot of ways, but also it kind of was in a lot of ways too. But like, Do you feel like you're, you know, when you think about where you are now, on that path to maybe stability, on that path mm-hmm. to control, like what's the growth? I'm sure there's been a lot of growth, but like what's the growth been generally, just in terms of like how you're feeling, how stable you're feeling, how in control you're feeling?
Well, it's hard because there's just like multiple levels to that, of course. But like for me and who I am and how I'm living my life, I feel like I have a lot more control over my life than I did at that time. Like back in 2018, like I was working at my first job that I had out of university, which was the same office I had worked at since I was 18 years old. So I worked there from 18 to 24. I was almost 26 when I left.
And what was it? You were working at the university. Right?
Yeah, I was working in the housing department at the University of Calgary. And I loved working there. My supervisor there, like he's like family to me. I worked for him for like 6 years and I really liked my job. But I was in a position where basically there was nowhere for me to grow in that job unless my supervisor retired. So it's like, what? I'm going to do the same job for 11 years to then have my boss retire till I take his job. And then I do that for like ever. And that just wasn't, it didn't feel like a sustainable path for me. There wasn't really growth for income as well, which like I have like the amount of debt that I have is not something where I could just sustain not increasing in salary. And so I was there at the time. I was living with a boyfriend who I had been dating from the time I was 18. And I had just gotten back from not getting on to Big Brother. And it was just like, I don't even know like where I was at. And now I've moved provinces. I live by myself. I have been single for a very long time, like spending time like working on myself and like growing in that, because I spent my whole youth like basically in a relationship.
Yeah.
And then I got out of that right before, I guess I was 20. What did we turn 25 in 2018?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. So I was 24 at the time. And by the time I was 25, I had a lease on a new apartment. I had broken up with my long-term boyfriend. And then within 6 months of that, I had moved to a different industry doing a different job where there was like more growth potential. And so I thought I had it figured out. I thought everything was good. Oh, Kirsten's working out. She's doing well, blah, blah, blah. And it still like that still didn't make me happy. It still wasn't like that any better. And since then, I've now moved provinces, moved industries again, live in a completely different place and like a completely different way. And it's like, as of right now, feel like things are good. But it's our Saturn return this year, Matthew. So who knows what's going to happen by the end of this year?
Yeah, and I just learned about our Saturn return probably like at some point last year. Someone was like, oh my gosh, you're 29 and this is really an important time where like challenges might come up, but depending on how you navigate them and deal with them, like if you work through them and it goes well, then you'll have like good, I'm sure you know more about this than me, but like you'll have good fortune down the future. Did I mostly get that right?
Well, it's basically like, so for people who don't care or know about astrology, I'm really sorry if you don't care about this, but something that I find deeply fascinating, if you don't believe in it, I'm happy for you and that's great for you.
Yeah.
But I don't care about that opinion right now because I feel the way I feel about it. Just up front, if the astrology bros are mad, good, stay mad. I don't care.
Like, this isn't the place
die mad.
Wait, hold on. Let me be mad for a second. This isn't the place to be like, oh no, Kirsten, this is about Kirsten, but I have my opinion on her life and how she should look at things. I mean, the beauty of this is that people could like see themselves in you too. Maybe it's not the astrology piece, but the people want to hear from you, Kirsten.
I just, so the astrology bros get very mad on Twitter, okay? And I just want to get in front of that.
So we'll clip this and we'll also put it on Twitter and do hashtag astrology bro. And,
yeah, hashtag die mad astrology bros. Sorry. So the way it works is you do not just have like a lot of people know, oh, this is my sign, quote unquote, but that's your sun sign. So that's the place in the sky where the sun was at the moment that you were born. But of course, what you might not know about outer space, there's a lot more planets actually than just like the sun as a star. Right.
Right.
So you have like a more fulsome chart of where every single thing was in the moment that you were born. And most things cycle at like, obviously, like the sun takes like 1 year to go around and so on and so forth. But Saturn takes about 27 years to return to its same space. Mm-hmm. So to get Saturn back where it was at the moment that you were born is not something that happens very often. And what people tend to notice is that between 27 to 29, when Saturn returns to where it was when you were born, your life will change a lot. Like, it's kind of a reckoning. Mm-hmm. Like, from an astrology standpoint, it's like that's the moment where you like become an adult and you face a lot. Like, I know friends who at that point in time, they switch career paths, meet a new partner, move somewhere new. Like, there's a lot of different things that can happen to you and that you can make happen during that period of time. And how you respond to it is going to kind of set you up for the next like 27 years. And then you'll have another like reckoning when you're like between 55 and 60, which of course is the old midlife crisis that a lot of people like to talk about, right?
Gotta love that. Yeah.
So it's just like, I don't really know what's going to happen. I feel like my life has been like in flux and in chaos and in constant transformation already for the last 4 years. So
yeah,
I can't say what is coming next, but I'm at a point now where I'm not trying to hold on to things so tightly anymore. And I've learned that control and safety and security doesn't mean rigidity either. And that there is like a beautiful balance that can happen when you just kind of lean into it and see what happens. Yeah. And like say yes to opportunities you want to say yes to and say no to things that you don't think are right for you.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
For nearly four decades, J&K Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started J&K Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. J&K Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com. For nearly four decades, J&K Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started J&K Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. J&K Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
This is like so fascinating, and there's so much that like I don't even want to go. Well, I actually do for a second want to go like way back,
okay.
Kirsten.
Just can imagine go where you
that.
Want.
Imagine that this StreamYard is a therapist couch. Get comfortable.
Oh,
I'm
God,
kind of
okay.
You know, like a lot of what you're saying, and you've referenced this too, is that there are. You know, beyond the Enneagram stuff and the star signs and everything else, that there are like experiences that have kind of made you who you are. And I think what the way it ties into Saturn's return too is just that, you know, like it's all in knowing what I do about your backgrounds, like it's almost like, what could they throw at Kirsten? Like what's like, I remember about almost a year ago at this point when WrestleMania was happening, actually last April, I was on like the Rahap Instagram, and I remember creating a Rahap slur wrestler for you. And the tagline was basically like, don't F with cats and don't F with Kirsten, which also shows like where we were at the time. But I am like, I would love to kind of just go back, because I'm kind of curious, like what's the story, or like the, maybe like the short story of like what life was like for you growing up, for those who don't know. And I know there are a lot of twists and turns, but I was taking notes. I'll have the post-its. I'll have the details. I'll have something about the holy water being
there's no
thrown
there's
in sprinkled.
No holy water. Oh my God.
But yes, what?
I think I made a joke.
Speaking of holy water, by the way, and this is like so stupid. I don't know why my phone's right here. Sam Moore, an angel just texted me. So shout out to Sam Moore for whenever he hears this.
He's addicted. Is he doing something work related?
I have no clue. I'm not going to look at it, but
don't touch grass, Sam Moore.
Completely ignore. He'll wonder in a few weeks when he hears this why I never replied. I'll get back to him later. But yeah, like what's like the story? Because you're an open person. You share so much about your mm-hmm. life, and you know, I'm sure that you find yourself going back and like explain to people who you are, where you've been, but like, what's that? How did you grow up, Kirsten?
Okay. Well, so obviously, I was born in 1992. I was born in, the lower mainland of British Columbia. So, yeah. It's some of the most temperate weather that we get up here in Canada. But I was born in a town called Chilliwack, which is most well known for smelling like cow poo all the time. Is like the reputation. I only lived there until I was four, so I don't really remember it that much. But that's like the vibe of Chilliwack, just to paint a picture for you. And so When I was growing up, when I was really little, I lived with my mom, my dad, my sister, my half-sister, and my aunt.
Mm-hmm.
My dad was in the military, and my mom stayed home with us.
Yeah.
Because obviously it's like three young kids. Like, childcare is expensive. It honestly would cost more than what she would have made, right? So
yeah.
It doesn't really make sense. And then my aunt was there. She, like, I don't know what she did for a job at any point in her life. Like, I really have no
right.
idea.
Yeah.
But I know she was around a lot, and she was horrible. She, like, my mom grew up in a very religious family. They were Seventh-day Adventists. So I don't know if you know a ton about Seventh-day Adventism, but it is like hard mode Christianity is how I would kind of describe it. Like, it is
right, yeah.
It's very extreme. It is very, very restrictive. Most like Christian faiths, I feel like, kind of lean into the New Testament of like, we're saved and like,
yeah,
things are good. Seventh-day Adventism really leans Old Testament is kind of how I would describe it, which, like, there's nothing wrong with that, but that's kind of what I know most about, like, the Bible from growing
yeah.
up in a religious family. So we went, you know, to church every Saturday because they also do Saturdays, not Sundays. We were not well off at all. My dad was stalled in, like, lower ranks in the military for a really long time, and we were a lot of mouths to feed. So we lived kind of... It was kind of a weird life, like, a lot. We had, like, grew a lot of our own food at, like, my grandpa's property mm-hmm. and would go into the Okanagan, which is where, like, a lot of farmland in BC is. And you go and you would, like, pick your own fruit, and then they would, like, can the fruit all to, like, get through the winter so you didn't have to buy it. Like, just, like, it's weird.
Completely,
like,
foreign to me. I'm like, what? Okay.
Like, I never had to because I was so little. But when we lived in Chilliwack, like, even to my sister, when we left, I was 4 and she was 8. And mm-hmm. she would have to go, like, help pick beans all day at my grandpa's property so that they could then can the green beans so that we could, like, eat beans in the winter.
And you got out of picking the beans.
I was too little, so I never had to do, like, the farming work.
Person,
so.
I'm going to call you out here before turning it back to your story.
What?
A 4-year-old could pick some beans.
Oh, my God. Well, I was never asked to pick beans. Like,
I wouldn't have done it. I would have, like, run away. So I get
like,
it.
I mean, if they'd asked me to pick the beans, I probably would have picked the beans. But yeah, so it was a lot of, like, we grow our own food. My dad, like, went to work every day. He came home. My mom, like, took care of us. She homeschooled my older siblings. So they would be doing, like, schoolwork in the morning and then, like, some sort of, like, physical activity in the
yeah.
afternoon. So, like, my older siblings rode horses, or we would go to the pool, or you'd go to, like, the gym, like, that kind of thing. So it's just, that's kind of what I remember from being really little. And one, like, super vivid memory, I think it's because, like, scent is such an important part of memories that you kind of mm-hmm. remember. My dad hated my aunt who lived with us so much, like, could not stand her. And everyone else in the family except my dad also was vegetarian at the time.
Yeah.
And so my dad would come home from work and he would make, like, a really stinky burger so that my aunt would go hide in her bedroom for a little while so he wouldn't have to talk to her.
Wow.
So I just, like, always remember, like, the smell of, like, a hamburger cooking.
I'm so, this is, like, so, and, so
okay, wait. No, this is juicy,
oh.
actually. This is really juicy. So
just like that
the
burger.
Reason, yes, the reason why my dad did not like my aunt so much was... This aunt,
yeah.
like, my mom was the youngest of 6 girls. So
uh-huh.
you think she's the baby, she's the youngest.
Right.
But yet somehow she was the only one who was, like, independent and, like, most often living away from the parents. Like, at one point, all 5 of her sisters, and some of them with husbands, were all living at home. And my mom was the only one not. Like, she was, like, more independent than them. But
yeah.
this one sister of hers was, like, obsessed with my mom to a weird level, like, wanted her life so bad.
Oh my God.
And she, like, wrote a letter to my dad at one point that was like, You shouldn't be with Vanessa. You should be with me. We would be better parents for the children. We would be a better family. Like, we would be a better example. Like, you should be with me. And so my dad gave the letter to my mom and was like, what the fuck is wrong with your sister? And then, so my mom had it like in her wallet. I don't know what she was going to do with it. She had the letter. And then my aunt stole it out of my mom's wallet so there wouldn't be any evidence that she had done this. And I remember like years later, like probably 2012, we were at like a family function in BC and I saw this aunt just staring at my dad. And I was like, she has been in love with him her whole life.
Oh my God.
Like she, I was like, oh my God, she's looking at him like she is in love with him. Like it was, it's just weird. Right. And so she lived with, so that's like an awkward dynamic for everyone to live with. And the other layer to that is that my mom had my half sister when she was very young. sorry. And so she was working a lot. And my mom, when she was younger, did a lot of time working as a bartender. So that's like very late hours. Or, and I think she also did like driving newspapers to the spots where like the delivery people pick them up, which is like a super early morning thing. Mm-hmm. So she didn't have like a schedule where she could really have her daughter with her all of the time. So my half-sister lived a lot of the time with my grandparents during the week and then would go see my mom like on the weekends or whenever she had days off to like spend that time with her. Mm-hmm. Just because like she was trying to like make enough money to support them both, right?
Yeah.
Which is not easy. And that was at that time, as I said, most of my mom's sisters also lived at home because they were all bad. And my this aunt that like tried to like steal my dad literally would go to my half sister when she's like a child of like 4 or 5 and be like, oh, well, you're here because your mom doesn't love you. She doesn't want you. That's why you're here. I could be your mom instead. Like I could be a good mom to you. And so she did all of that for so long. And then in 1998, I believe, was when my dad got posted away from the lower mainland of BC. So we were all set to move cross country to Ontario. Mm-hmm. And at that time, my aunt serves my mom that she is suing for custody of my half sister, who's not related to that aunt. Like, as she's a niece, right? And she tried to say that like my mom was abusive and like tried to make a case. And like, obviously that was not the case because they would have taken all of us away if that was the case. Right. But the way the custody laws worked in BC at the time, to the best of my understanding now, is that if the child was 12 or older and had like a proven, like close personal relationship with both parties, the kid could choose where they wanted to live.
Yeah.
And so Brittany chose. So what happened was first, my parents won custody and it was like official. We have Brittany. We're going to leave. Mm-hmm. And my mom got a call that night from a close friend of the family who was like, this is going to get overturned. You need to leave the province right now. Like you need to take her and you need to go because if you come back, like she's going to get taken. My mom, of course, didn't do that. It's a law abiding person. And like they had to go back for their last court appearance. And the judge was like, I know that you're in a good place, but like legally speaking, you get to choose where you want to live. And my half sister chose to live with my aunt.
Yeah.
And so when I was 4 and she was 12, she moved out and was with my aunt. So I never really got to know my half sister. Like I don't even really like consider her family, but that's kind of like that gives you a sense of like the family dynamic there.
Yeah.
And so then we just moved. And then I've only seen that half sister. Like I could probably count on one hand how many times I've seen her again since I was like 4.
Damn.
She lives a ferry ride away right now. She didn't even come to her mom's funeral.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. This is like, so there's so much
it's
there. So, right?
It's like, I swear to God, like, I feel like I should write a book.
I was going to say, it's like it's not even like
it's like a TV
show, but it's
like,
not
it's
even
not
it's
even like
more
a normal-
wild. Like it's real life. It's real life. And you should write a book and you just need to like, I think one of the things that's beautiful about like interviews and recording conversations even is that like you're able to just capture those details, but hopefully you're able to like stop and like, even if it's writing, I don't care if it's a voice memo, But like, just like, I don't even know.
Crazy? Like, it's crazy.
Yes, it is. It is. But it's like, it's also, I mean, I don't know. Here's what I'm like struggling with right now. Struggle is an interesting word to use for this, but it's basically like, I always feel like I'm not like typically surprised. Oh my, what is this cat action happening behind
She's going under the duvet. That's where she likes to sleep, under the blanket, but she's like crawling
out. She's been doing a lot, and this is a great reason for people to watch the YouTube version just to see her.
She's
her
a demon.
Journey. Oh my gosh. No, I saw her do some demon moves, like jumps. I didn't even. But
she's a good jumper. She's a really good jumper.
Speaking of jumping around in conversation, sure, let's do that.
Yeah, let's jump around.
I always feel like I'm able to, jumping back to what we were talking about, like I think of myself as someone who's not typically surprised, because I'm like, oh, okay, like that thing makes sense, and then this and that. But like, my jaw was on the floor with what you were saying, just because like, nobody should have to deal with all of that. But
Crazier, Matt. Crazier.
That's why I'm going back. I'm like, give her a breath. Give her a breath. Get some air. But yeah, like what? That's kind of where I'm wondering. Like, well, I wanted to ask like when it started to calm down, but it sounds like it got more tumultuous before it calmed down.
Well, and so part of that as well. So I told you all the things that my aunt would say. Yeah. To my half sister, and she said all those same things to me when I was too little. Like, I don't remember this. Like, I don't remember her saying this to me. I don't remember it happening. But I guess shortly after we moved, I was having like significant behavioral issues of just like not listening, being really bad. And I mean, part of that was probably like the trauma of like losing a sibling and like moving cross country. It was very dramatic. But I guess I like turned to my mom and I was like, no, Faith said I don't have to listen to you. Like, she said that like she could be my mom, like, and I could listen to her. And she tried it with my older sister as well, but my older sister had lived like 4 years with like my mom and dad as like a happy family, and so she just kind of like, even as like a young kid, was able to be like, this is dumb, like that's my mom. But she was in the house from before I was born, so I like, when you're young and an adult is telling you things, you trust them and you believe them.
Wow. This is so, where did it, as it continued on, like
it kind of ended from there, from when we moved.
Wow. Okay. And how old were you at that time?
I turned 5 a couple months later.
Oh my God. This was all when I was super young.
Yeah. And the thing too is, it's like my dad always held a grudge and was like, no, like this is all really messed up. But my, like, it was really important to my mom to like forgive people and not let stuff like that get in the way. And so she always, like, she would still like talk to her sister on the phone like pretty much every week for like hours, would still like, they had a really hard time financially between that. Like, I don't know if that sister ever worked. Like, I really don't know what she did. And they had, like, they were obviously like on assistance because that's all they could really do. But I know my mom would like send them money and buy them groceries. And when they were much older and they had to like move out of like a really bad living situation, my mom like went over, helped them buy new furniture, got them into a new place. Like, was really like, she never like obviously stopped loving her daughter, but she also was like, yeah, I'm not really her mom, like I know that she doesn't think of me as a mom, kind of thing. And so it's just, it's weird, but it's also like, it's important to talk about stuff like this, I think, because I think a lot of us go through stuff that is actually like super fucked up, and you don't even really realize until way later that it's really messed up. And it's important to discuss it and like get through it and kind of figure out how to move forward. But it's also really important not to dwell on stuff like that, sometimes I hold a grudge. I'm not a perfect person, but I try really hard to not, because it really does, like, it does feel better to not hold ill will against people or to like not focus on like, because like bad shit is going to happen to you.
Yeah.
And you just have to respond to it as best you can. And then like you can't, carrying around resentment is just more weight that you're holding on to. And it just gets heavier. It's not easier.
Yeah. And I think it's so interesting that you say that too, because one of the things to reference the interview, the I'll just call it the interview.
The interview.
Let's reference the interview. You know, you kind of ended it talking about that, like wanting to have more forgiveness in your life. And, you know, while forgiveness is a really difficult thing, especially depending on what you're forgiving, not everything deserves forgiveness. It is important to kind of be at that place that you're talking about, which is to realize that, like, there's weight with being angry and there's weight with holding on to and rehashing the past and the things that didn't go well. And it's interesting because I know that you could definitely relate to this better than I could think from the reality TV perspective, just to tie it together. Like I will be on Twitter and see like something that someone comments on Stephen Fishbeck's post that's like, you should have won this or you should have done that, or that person 10 years ago when you were on that show was really rude to you. And like, you know, it's people, this happens to Eric Reichenbach all the time, right?
And that poor man, like,
I know,
how is he supposed to really let go, right? Because that's the thing too. And especially in that example too, because that's like, yes, he was manipulated and something was done to him, but also he kind of did it himself. And so that I feel like must weigh, like, I feel like the stuff that I personally mess up weighs on my brain so much more than anything anyone could ever do to me. I can't imagine holding that and then getting reminded of it every like 10 minutes on Twitter once your season's on Netflix.
No. But I even like, I think of like the whole Big Brother Canada thing. Honestly, there's not like a lot.
There's no new ground.
There's like nothing. Honestly, exactly. And also I'm like, that's not even like the most interesting, like that's not even interesting at this point. But what's interesting to me is I would just say is like, I maybe once in the last year I saw this, but someone who like commented referencing that, and it's like, get a life. I'll say that. Leave Kirsten alone, but also like just realize that people are constantly growing and evolving and living their lives. And, you know, some people mean well, but some of those people are like the energy suckers who want to like pull you back to wherever it is that you were, you know, struggling with something. Mm-hmm. And so there's like the balance of being angry, but also in the positive side of this, which is kind of what you're talking about, is talking about like that trauma, processing it and kind of working through it, and then realizing how it informs how you show up in the world today. Because like, I'm sure there are a ton of things that could be triggering based on that experience. Or like if you meet a Seventh Day Adventist, it's like, oh my gosh, I feel very uncomfortable just based on my own.
I'm more like, are you okay?
Right.
Like,
exactly.
Are you good? Right. Cause you never really know there. But, and just to go back to like the people on Twitter who are bringing up ancient history, there's two sides to that. Uh-huh. And one side is people will be like, oh man, you totally got robbed. I would have loved to see you on TV. That is a very nice thing to say. And that doesn't trigger anything in me. Like, I'm just like, that's a nice thing to say. Like, I wish that it would have worked out like that as well. Like, I will always have to wonder what it would have been like had I had that experience. But what I'm sick of, and it happens probably like 3 to 4 times a year. It's not a lot. But obviously, we're all on these reality TV streets. We're sharing our opinions on the internet. We're talking about gameplay. We're talking about strategy, all of that. And every once in a while, someone decides they don't like what I have to say, which is fine. You don't have to like what I have to say. What you think of me, none of my business. However, when you choose to tag me and be like, well, you couldn't even get on the show. Well, that I need to unpack a little bit, because one, I did get on the show. I went through the full casting process twice. They actually liked me so much, they called me back. So it's not my fault that they chose a dumbass twist, first of all. I did get cast, actually, and I would love to see you get cast. But second of all, 98% of the people analyzing these shows have not been on them. When exactly. was Taryn on Big Brother? But we all care about his opinions on strategy. He wasn't.
I mean, the rumors, but...
yeah, the rumors know. Are true.
I don't know. Maybe he was cast and then he was pulled back when it was leaked. I don't know.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. Tinfoil
hat is totally on. You make a great point.
Like, he still... That's not to... And I'm not saying that to discredit him.
No.
He has... good things to say about strategy and a totally. Point of view and an interesting perspective.
But it's not like anyone holds that against him. And exactly. actually something you're making me think about. And again, it's not even a Taryn specific thing or because I know that like, you know, and this is something I've seen a lot of, which is that like the women on our network, but in podcasting in general, commenting on these shows just get like, honestly, like get a lot of shit like for just opening your mouth and saying something that someone disagrees with. And I think of you with this. I think of Melissa Denny with this. I think of Jessica Lease with this. I think of a lot of people who get like attacked for your perspective and opinion. But like, less to like dive into and like even give credence, maybe that's the word, to like the credibility, because there's no credibility to those people. I'm kind of curious like how you now today navigate that and deal with that type of feedback and that I hate to call it feedback because that's such a legitimate word, but yeah, like deal with that hate.
Yeah, because that's the thing, right? Like I don't think that there's any one podcaster on the network, male, female, like black, white, whatever, yeah. who is going to be upset at receiving legitimate feedback of, oh, you explained it like this, but what about this thing that you didn't think of? Or, oh, this could be done better through XYZ type of way. Obviously, discounting people who are being dicks about speech patterns and vocal fry, that kind of thing. Because those are like people use filler words, and that's actually part of communicating that makes communication real.
Yeah.
And when people get upset about people saying or like or any of those things, all you're doing is showing your full ass as someone who doesn't understand how communication works, because we all use filler words every single day. It's part of linguistics. It doesn't have anything to do with intelligence, what you have to say or anything like that. And vocal fry, too, like it's just people have vocal fry. Deal with it, right?
Yeah. And you know what? While we're on this, I just want to throw in like the fact that there's a lot of that actually is also based in like to go there. A lot of it is based in like white supremacy culture, saying that like this is the right way to be. You have to talk like you're one of the people who's on NPR and you can't be loud and you can't be charismatic and make jokes and like. One thing I always want is like for people to think about where their idea of what's right is coming from, because as you said, there's not early on, there's not a right way to like live or to be or to show up.
Yeah, 100%. And it all, again, it does all go back to white supremacy and misogyny and the patriarchy. It really does.
Yeah.
And it's especially to a lot of the a lot of the vocal tics that I'm actually very fortunate. I haven't gotten a lot of that in a long time.
Yeah.
But like when I joined the network, there weren't a ton of women on the network at the time. Like obviously Jessica Lease was there. Amy and Haley were there. Allie was there. Liana and Melissa were in before me. Taylor Cotter was in the rotation, but like there really weren't very many women on the network when I came in, and that's how I got involved in the first place, like years ago, because I was like, Rob, why aren't there any women on your Big Brother coverage? And he was like, well, do you want to come on a podcast? And I was like, okay. And it was at that time when there was a much lower barrier to entry to get into the network when I was able to kind of sneak in. So
I just love the idea of like Kirsten snuck in before it was too. But no,
there was a time when if you just like talked to Rob and like you had a good rapport, you could build that into something. And now, like, I think that's still true. Like, obviously networking is important and you can still like get in if you have like a good voice and a good point of view. But I think that over the years, like the content on REJP has elevated a lot and the voices have elevated a lot. And it's a lot harder to get in as a new person now than it was when I got in, let alone like what, however many years before that. And I don't think that should be discounted either, but
yeah.
A lot of the feedback that women on the network get in particular is horrible. Like, yeah. I know I saw an iTunes review that was just like calling me and Maggie ugly for no reason recently. And I was like, it's not even a video podcast. Like, shut up. Like, frick.
First of all, right.
Like, oh first my of God. All, it's not even a video podcast. And second of all, me and Maggie are hot as hell. So shut yeah. up. Yeah. But.
And funny, as Maggie likes to point out.
Yes, Maggie's bio was extremely hot and funny, which I co-opted for all my dating apps, and it did work. So okay, it's good. Except it works because it actually like filters people out, because you'll get a message being like, oh, so you're funny, tell me a joke. And I'm like, ew, get away from me. Goodbye.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So stuff like that is, it's really funny. I've evolved a lot in absorbing this kind of information. I clap back a lot less than I used to. I definitely yeah. used to call people out. I used to love screenshotting a mean YouTube comment and tweeting it out so that my amazing followers would go downvote and like go, yeah. go be mean on YouTube. And they would. Yeah. My followers are so kind and nice. I love them. I don't do that so much anymore. I used yeah. to keep screenshots of all of the mean comments on my podcast just to like have on my phone. And I actually, within the last like 3 months, deleted all of them. I was like, I don't need to see these. It doesn't matter. And it wasn't because they were weighing on me. It's, I really just thought they were like, people are really funny and creative in how they will choose to hate on people on the internet sometimes. And I'm just also very lucky as a white woman, because I don't also get, well, like people say I'm like racist against white people, and I'm just like, that's a funny insult. Like, that's like a nice compliment to receive.
Yeah.
Like, we don't have time to get, it was just like a ridiculous thing to say.
Right. I mean, there's a lot to break down there and to dive into and unpack, which is like not the, it's always interesting with comments that, most people aren't thinking or even informed about what they're saying. And so like, we as podcasters are the type of people who want to like unpack and dive deep and be like, okay, but like, what do you mean by that? And like, blah, blah, blah. And we're ready for that. But also
we're ready to fight.
A lot of comments do not deserve that energy. And to borrow from Chappelle and many other people, just like you have to protect
your peace
sometimes.
And yeah. I protect my peace, and I protect other podcasters on the network's peace, because I am a moderator on the RHAP YouTube channel. And oh, I go in and I delete the comments. Oh, you're going to go leave something rude about my friend? Not on my watch. It's going to be gone.
I think this is reminding me. I think that you probably, around the time of like Black Voices of RHAP coming out, you definitely mentioned to me that you were a moderator, like in a message, and you were like, just if anyone comes for you or whatever, like I feel like that energy is important, that we need to be here to like stand up and like say something and be like, no, just because I'm on a podcast doesn't mean you could trash me. And like, I've been thankful to not have a ton of that yet. But, you know, I'm kind of like curious too about.
This will be the one, Matt.
This will be the one where they're like, oh, God. See, this is why I don't unlock. I'm just going to say, like, you know, I mentioned at the top of the show in the intro and at the outro the best ways to reach out. Otherwise, I will not look at a lot of other things, like comments on YouTube, because that's the place where it scares me a little bit sometimes.
Yeah, there are definitely spots on the internet like that where it's just better not to go. Like, Chappelle continuously is like, no, why are you going on Reddit, Kirsten? Don't go there. It's not a place for you. Like, it's not a space for me personally.
Yeah, or the Facebook comments, but that's a whole other thing. Like,
oh, but I still read them all. That's the thing that's sick about me. I still read them all. I just don't save them anymore.
Well, this is all wild. There's a lot. Kirsten, there's like so many. I have so many questions. I just want you to protect your peace.
But though. Matt, let me tell you, the night I did not make it into Big Brother Canada 6, okay? Yeah. They took us out for a nice dinner. I went for a drink with Mikey, who also didn't get voted in. Then I went back to my hotel. They put us up in a very nice hotel for that night, which would have been amazing. But of course, I did not sleep a wink.
Right.
I spent the whole night searching every comment, every YouTube video. I went on Twitter. I typed in my name with BBCan6 to see every single tweet that was about me. And I'm sure I saw them all before people decided, oh, I should delete this because she's out in the real world now. And it was not smart. That did not help my mental health. But yeah. I did it. And I saw it all. If you're listening and you wrote calling me Fat Maddie on Big Brother Twitter in 2018, I saw it and you're stupid.
Yeah. But like beyond that, I guess it kind of begs this question for me, which is about how like the perception versus the reality of who you are. And a lot of what we've talked about is about how people perceive you, either based on your takes or based on like your social media and how you show up. And like, as you mentioned, like you are like, you're ready for a fight if it needs to, like, let's ring the bell is basically like part of it. But also like beyond how people perceive you, like what is it that people don't see or know when it comes to you? And I will just say, I have to throw this in. So my very first RHAP podcast was with you, Taryn, and Rob. And it was a, like the first Sunday episode of Big Brother 22. So everything was still happy and bright with the world.
Yeah,
and
when we thought it was going to be a good season.
We really thought so. But I remember like doing that podcast too. And I remember leaving there and being like, I'm so intimidated by Kirsten. Like, I'm what? So intimidated.
Like after podcasting with me?
After podcasting with you the oh first time, because I was intimidated by everything. That's a whole other story. Okay, we're not going to get into that. But like, and like, you know, being part of the class of 2020 is a whole thing. You could go back and like listen to some of the other episodes where I'm talking about that with some of the others who are part of it. But like, I remember just being like, oh my gosh.
Sorry,
like,
there's someone at my door.
Someone's at the door.
I'm sorry.
This is probably getting cut out unless it's like Rob Sesternino at the door or Sam Moore. Maybe it's Sam Moore at the door. That rhymes.
Oh, thank you.
Oh my gosh. Someone's being helpful at the door. But I feel like I'm like a security camera or something right now.
Mail's here.
The mail's here. They knocked on the... Oh, well, look at that. Look at that.
Sorry, I was like, no. I didn't know if it was my landlord or something.
I was like, oh, they knock for the mail nowadays.
This could have fit in my mailbox for sure.
I was just saying, I felt like a security camera in real time. I was like, who's there?
Who is it? Oh my God, imagine if I'd been murdered live on the street.
I know. I don't know if there's a way to like lie. Well, I wouldn't want to live stream that, but I would also be like, I don't know what to do for help. Like
I can't call 911. It'll call your local 911.
But I also can't like turn off the stream either. But I also want to be
it would
here.
Be evident. It would be evidence in a criminal matter.
And you have your headphones in too. Next time, take your headphones out because I want to make sure I could like yell at somebody like, hey, I'm here. Let me interview you for PodFriends.
I see you. Yeah. Like, you can't murder me. I'm being interviewed for PodFriends.
Yeah. That's always it. That's exactly why I podcast, just to avoid being murdered while I'm podcasting.
You were in the middle of asking me a question when I rudely ran up to answer my door.
No, it was, yeah, it was a question about like the perception versus the reality. Wait, let me collect myself. I'm assuming this is getting cut out, but I'm just going to keep going. So, you know, I asked though about like the perception of, you know, how people see you versus the reality. And I was talking about being intimidated by you at first. And then something that I realized over not a lot of time actually, but just like in interacting with you at all was like, oh my gosh, Kirsten is like so warm and nice and friendly and all of these things. Aside that I don't think like always comes across when we're talking about like trashy TV or like hot dummies on islands who we think are hot dummies, right? Like what's the part of you that people don't get to see as much?
Have you ever read the book Ferdinand the Bull when you were a kid?
No, but I'm guessing there's a bull named Ferdinand?
Yeah, so the concept of Ferdinand the Bull, it was one of my favorite books when I was a kid. And it's set where they do all the bullfights in Spain, but there's this one bull, Ferdinand, and he doesn't want to fight. He just wants to sit and smell the pretty flowers.
Right.
And so I feel like that. I feel like I come across a lot harder than I am. Like, I'm actually pretty sensitive, and I always have been, but I try not to show it so much. Like, I really, my dad was in the military. Like, it's very much like stiff upper lip, don't yeah. show your emotions. And so I also grew up where people didn't really show their emotions that much. And so in that situation, you kind of can feel like your feelings and emotions are a burden on other people. And because of all of that, that is, I don't have time to unpack today.
Right.
I try not to show how I'm feeling. I try to rewire myself to be more analytical than emotional. And I try to not let people see even that I have feelings at all. Right. Yeah. I think that, like, as you've said, like, most people, once you actually get to know me, like, that's not really true at all. But I never really was, like, well-liked until I was in my 20s, for sure. Like, yeah. I would have, like, a group of friends, and then, you know, military people are moving all the time. So, like, you don't have, like, consistent friendships growing up. I think I have, like, maybe two people I knew from being a kid, like, on Instagram from, like, when I was, like, really little. But, like, we don't yeah. really talk. We just, like, follow each other on Instagram. And then university, high school, I kind of, I, like, assembled the weirdos. Like, I kind of was like, okay, we're going to be a group, right? But, again, I don't talk to any of those people anymore. Like, I maybe follow a couple of them on social media, but I don't know those people anymore. I don't know what they're doing with their lives. I don't really know them. And then I was in university, and then I had, like, my dorm group of friends. And I do have some friends from university still, from, like, mostly people I was an RA with, because I really enjoyed that. But, like, I don't have any examples really of, like, a long-term friendship. So I feel like a lot of people don't actually get to know me in that way, and that I don't show it as much. Like, I've always done better with internet friends than real life friends. Like, that's a fact. Yeah. On those mean streets of Neopets as a child.
Yeah, back in the day. Shout out to Storm Shadow 777 or whatever his name
is. Did you check if he's still alive?
I couldn't remember my password, and then I got locked out, but I'll get in one day. He's still alive.
You know, they don't die. They just say they're dying of hunger.
He's looked like a ghost for, like, the last, I don't know what happened to him. He had, like,
some disease. They probably sprayed him with the lab ray or something.
It's too late. It's been 20 it's years, and I just, like, I think I need to accept him for how he is and who he is, yes. and, you know, really embrace him. And I need to go check on him at some point.
Yeah, go check him into the Neo Lodge so that he won't be hungry anymore.
It's too late. You have to understand.
It's too late. I feel like you're carrying a lot of guilt for you.
I am. There's a lot of emotion. This is going to be, like, the part where we start sobbing over our Neopets.
Oh, my God. No, listen, I can still get into my account. My Neopets are fine.
Okay, rub it in.
They're fine, okay?
There we go.
I'm just mad that Adobe Flash is gone, so I can't go play my Flash games on Neopets anymore.
Oh.
I know. It's sad.
I didn't even think about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. The site is drastically changed as a result of that. It's depressing.
Oh, my gosh. This is so sad.
I know.
Oh, my God. Wait. Yes, you were. I think I don't know if I interrupted you or not in the middle of, like,
I don't remember. I don't even really know. But yeah, basically, I think that, like, the one thing that people really don't know about me is, like, I am very sensitive. Yeah. And I do just like everybody else. I, like, want to be liked and I want to be known. But I also just feel like, at this point, sometimes I feel like I don't know if people even can really know me. Like I don't know. It's and that sounds so weird. I feel like I'm being dramatic too, but like as I got more involved in like podcasting and streaming and being a content creator, you want to be your authentic self and you want to share that with everyone. But you also kind of like want to keep parts of yourself that are just separate from that and are not, you know, public domain.
Yeah.
But then I'm also like so online that I feel like the only way to even protect myself is to be even more online so that you're like drowning in Google search results and can't like find anything truly embarrassing.
I figured that out like 7 or 8 years ago and I was like, oh yeah, a lot of people are like, don't Google me. I'm nervous, but what I'm finding, I'm like, one, I'm not going to make sure not like, you know, untag things, all that fun stuff. But also it's like when you're just creating so much content too, it kind of buries whatever else, you know, you have going on. Not that there's anything like sketchy, thankfully.
Well, no. And me as well. Like there's nothing like sketchy or anything, but it's just like, well, I mean, honestly, the Big Brother thing is kind of sketchy and embarrassing. Like that's like my biggest nightmare is like meeting some, like, thankfully I wasn't on the show, so like I don't get recognized, like nobody knows who I am, like even like hardcore fans of the show do not know who I am, which is amazing and beautiful, and I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful for it. I'm so grateful for it. Like I've gone out for drinks with some of the BB Can people and like people are like interrupting your drinks to be like, oh my god, like I loved you on the show, can we take a picture? And I'm like, ugh, no, I don't want that, like absolutely not. So I feel like that is like the embarrassing thing, but it's unfortunately like the most like SEO optimized thing in my search. So it will always be what comes up. Last year, when I first started my job, I got a call from a legal assistant at like a firm and they were like, were you on Big Brother Canada? And it was like the worst moment of my entire life because I had this awkward conversation on the phone in my cubicle and then all my coworkers found out about it. Embarrassing. Wow. Embarrassing. It's mortifying.
So someone called you.
I was at like, work, working away.
Yeah.
Sending disclosure to lawyers for their like clients to make sure that they're prepared and that they have all of their everything they need for a trial that is in line with their charter rights, with the Charter of Rights and Freedoms in Canada. Just admin work, boop, 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 on my computer. My phone rings. I'm like, oh, it's this assistant at this firm. I pick up the phone and she goes, were you on Big Brother Canada? And I was like, kind of? What? Like, what's going on? And I had met one of their articling students who had recognized me. And instead of saying it in the moment, he went back to the firm and like told everyone and then they Googled me and then they called me to confirm. And I was like,
That's so bizarre and mortifying. And also, like, I get what you're saying too about the idea of like, you have to figure out what parts of yourself to share in the things that you create too. And part of it, like something that I, you know, there are probably a lot of reasons for this, but, you know, like something that I think that I was thinking about as you were kind of talking about this is just like how much I share about like my dad who passed away in 2017. And I know that like this is something that we
have
in common.
Yeah, same year that my mom passed as well.
What was like the date in like that she passed?
It was July.
My dad was March 8th, 2017.
Yeah, oh, 1 year to the day before I got crushed on national television.
Oh, look at that. That's exactly how... I'm like, oh, damn, it's interesting.
It's hard to remember the specific date because so the reason why I was there when it happened was I had flown out for a week because my sister was getting married.
Yeah.
And I got there Saturday night and then she passed away like early morning, Sunday morning.
Yeah.
And so I'm pretty sure it was July 23rd and then my sister got married on the 29th.
Oh my God.
But I have a hard time remembering if it was maybe the 16th and then she got married. I think it's the 20th. Yeah, no, she passed away on the 23rd. She passed away on the 23rd.
I ask about that too, because I think something that I like Well, for both of us, I guess it's horrible to think about. And by the way, I will say like that for me, this like January to March is the toughest time with my grief, just because like that's when my dad got sick. He was sick with what we found out later was a rare form of leukemia, and that's how he passed away. But and so this time of year, like literally this is when things kind of happened suddenly. And I, you know, something that I figured out really quickly, maybe by instinct, was just like, I need to share this. Like, I'm going to post it. I'm okay talking about my grief, mm-hmm. like to people out here, because it was just such a good way for me to like process it and get it out. And like talking about vulnerability and talking about that, like, I don't know, like, I don't know.
No, how, I'm just,
like, I have
I'm
so many
same.
Questions yeah, and no, I don't have I'm, words for it. You know?
I'm the same way. And I've always found that being super vocal about grief helps. Like, I don't know if it fully unpacks it, because I always worry to some extent if I'm just intellectualizing how I'm feeling instead mm-hmm. of actually feeling it. But I know, like, my mom passed away in July of 2017. She had been diagnosed in July of 2016. And we had noticed something was kind of off in May of 2016. And then July was like when it was diagnosed. She had a glioblastoma, which is a brain tumor. It was completely inoperable based on where it was. She fought like hell, but like that shit is, it's crazy the way that it works. And when it's a brain tumor, it affects how your personality is as well. Yeah. And it was near her center of speech. So she like, she couldn't remember words that she was trying to say. And it was really frustrating for her communication skills. And so I'm always very public about that. I'm always like, please donate to the Brain Tumor Foundation, because we still don't know. Like a lot of cancers, you can kind of figure out like what causes them, or like, and I mean, even still, some people still just get cancer. Like it's not 100%, right? And even then, even if someone like smoked every day for 85 years, that doesn't mean they deserve lung cancer, or that it's like some sort of karmic thing, which I think people need to be a little bit more understanding about. Mm-hmm. Cause it's a horrible disease that impacts so many people, and there's no cure. And sometimes there's surgery, sometimes there's treatments. Those treatments are hard on your body. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of times people think of like sickness as like a punishment for someone who like quote unquote didn't like live well. And I try to be like as open and vulnerable as possible, but like nobody knows why these brain tumors form. Nobody knows how to cure them. It's just horrible, right? And so I try to be vocal about that. And I also am super vocal about suicide, because I lost my best friend to suicide when I was 15 years old. And the way that people talk about mental health and the stigma against suicide and people that experience suicidal ideation, it doesn't help. It's not helping somebody when you go out of your way to like talk in a disparaging manner about someone who's experienced suicidal ideation. Mm-hmm. All it does is make people more ashamed of how they feel and less likely to look for help, right? Yeah. So I think it's super important to just be upfront, honest. Like, we all have grief over things. Not everyone has some big tragedy or some big trauma in their life. But that doesn't mean that they don't have traumas and bad experiences that they have feelings about. And it's important to be open about that, because when we're open about it, then you can really connect with people, and then you find community and a home where you maybe had no idea that you could have that. And I think that it's just, I think it's super important. My big goal of 2021 was that I was going to work really hard on being more trusting and believing people, and that I was going to work really hard on being more vulnerable with people. And I think in the first half of 2021, I did a really bad job of it. I thought I was doing a really good job of it by basically just like dumping a lot of words and acting like I was being vulnerable.
Yeah.
But I wasn't ready to have the space to actually discuss it further or like actually be emotionally open. I think I've gotten a lot better at that, and I'm going to continue to work on it this year. And I think that it's something that we all need to work on, because it's really hard, but it's really important.
Yeah. And it's almost like working out in a lot of ways, I think, too, because you can be vulnerable, but you could also kind of be conditioned to like over time to not remember how to be vulnerable and to like give yourself that space, which I think is so important. And, you know, something that I kind of think about, because we could probably be here forever.
We could. We truly could.
One thing I'm curious about, I'll say from my perspective to maybe set it up, is that for me in joining RHAP, but also just how I show up in the world, I just feel like, and this probably says something about some kind of Enneagram thing about me. I'm not even going to try to do it.
Well, and I mean, you also at the start of this, you were like, oh, I don't know what I am. You're a two, Matt. You're a two, and we all know it. No.
Or nine.
You're a two.
I don't know if I'm a two.
You're a two.
Okay.
I would say like the number one thing I would think of you as like a carer and like calling people in and being so empathetic and caring. You want to tell people stories, but you're not trying to tell your own. You're a two.
Kind of funny because like I kind of am too, where I'm like, well, but I also want to amplify other people, but also like that, like the thing that's so cool to me about telling people stories but then like interviewing them is figuring out like, well, again, like selfishly figuring out what we have in common and then kind of going there, right? So maybe I'm a two.
I feel like you're too willing to engage with conflict to be a nine.
Yeah. I am. Oh, I love a good conflict. Yeah, like I love you can't a healthy
be,
conflict.
Yeah, so you can't be a nine. Nine is like conflict avoidant to a T. That's Rob, okay. Right?
Oh, no. Yeah. You said that's Rob?
Yeah, Rob's a nine. And Rob does not like a conflict. Rob wants...
He is a nine. I know Rob he's a nine.
Rob wants things to stay smooth. And like, he obviously, like when it really matters, Rob stands up and he will do what needs to be done. But he would so much rather that it just not get to that point and that it just go away on its own.
Yeah.
And yeah. that's fine. That's just his personality. But like, you're not a nine because you could never.
No, that makes me feel good. I'll take your word for it. Yeah. I need to go back. You know what the problem is? I felt really attacked by Chappelle when he was talking about twos.
Yeah, that's how you know you're a two.
But then I felt attacked by everything else after that. So then it got really confusing. I don't even know where I was going. I kind of know where I was going generally. Something about talking with you forever. Blah, blah, blah.
Finding the points of connection.
Oh, yeah. I'm curious because like for me, when I joined RHAP, but also just how I show up in the world, like a lot of, there are so many issues that I care about. And I remember when I applied to the class of 2020, which I guess worked out. Which obviously worked out because I'm here. But, you know, when I think about that, one of the things that I said in my video that I sent in for the interview was like, I just want to be able to talk about these issues that matter to me. Like, are there certain issues that you want to be able to like voice and speak to? You mentioned like mental health, and we talked a little about grief, but like, yeah, like it kind of seems like you have this, and a lot of people do, like ways that you want to make the world a better place. Like, what does that look like for you?
Yeah. See, and I think in general, I do just have like a lot, at my core, I do want to find the way, in which we can make the world a better place, right? And it can be so overwhelming because there are so many like forces at work to make things bad, and it can be super overwhelming to be like, okay, well, am I picking mental health, am I picking capitalism, am I picking oh, let's dismantle the patriarchy and white supremacy. And there's just so many things that are wrong. And they're also so interconnected that I feel like it is hard to pick one thing to be like, this is my thing that I really care about. Right. And so I just try to face every day and every interaction as like, what good can I do? And how can I try to push things forward and try to make things better? And whether that's you hear someone say a word that they shouldn't say and you say, hey, what are you doing? That's not how we talk anymore. Like, that's not right. Or if it's, explaining the finer points of some sort of theory to someone, because I have always found something I'm personally really good at is taking a really complicated issue and making it like easily digestible for someone who maybe doesn't understand. So maybe it's making someone understand like a more complicated issue by breaking it into smaller parts. Maybe it's recording a podcast where we talk about trauma and mental health, yeah. and I let people maybe know me a little bit, possibly. Maybe it's doing a Twitch stream where I answer people's questions and I give them advice. And maybe it's just doing a podcast that's fun and makes somebody laugh when the life is literally hell right now, right?
Yeah.
So I think that we all do good in a lot of different ways. And as long as we're going out with an openness of learning and understanding that maybe you're wrong and there's a better way that you could be helping, and listening to the voices of like people you're trying to help, or like the other people that have been in the movement longer than you.
Yeah.
And as long as your goal is to help and you're willing to listen, I don't think you can really go wrong. And I don't think you have to choose just one thing. Like, I think that you can do a lot of good, as long as that's just kind of how you're approaching everything.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's important to not put yourself in a box with whatever it is. Like, you don't have to be the like animal person or the like mental health person or the whatever. Like, you could mm-hmm. you could be it all and just show up as yourself. And it's good to not overthink that and just
because it's what
like
you pick one thing
it.
So okay, we're picking
yeah.
Mental health, and
right.
then you're like, okay, well, but look at how these things intersect with like 100 other things, and then
exactly.
you're like, well, I haven't just picked one thing anyways. Like, there is, you can't pick just one thing. It's like how in did you watch The Good Place? I'm assuming you watched The Good Place.
Well, I'm just, no. This is the thing that's going to come through on Pod Friends. I literally have like watched nothing except
okay,
for the
so,
things I've talked about.
Okay, so in The Good Place, basically, the concept of like going to quote unquote heaven or hell is that every action you take during your lifetime basically is positive points or negative points. And if you have a certain balance, you can get into heaven. And if you have a certain balance, you get into hell, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of how it works. But what they kind of explore and look at really philosophically over the course of the show is that in this day and age, it's impossible to just be good all the time. Cause what you're okay, you're making the choice to eat a fruit. Well, where was that fruit grown? Was it grown ethically? What kind of labor went into producing that fruit? How
yeah.
is that impacting the global environment and economy and all these things? And it's like, no choice has a good or bad at this point, because things are really complicated and everything is super interwoven. Like, it's just like the everyone this week talking about the green M&M isn't sexy anymore, but actually Mars Corporation is facing a lawsuit about child labor, and so they're trying to distract with the stupid M&M.
yeah,
like it's all complicated.
That's the, well, maybe this is a good point to
I feel like I'm
like, well,
off the rails.
Yep, it is. No, but it's so true too. Like, there's nothing to really add there that's so complicated. But in contrast to that, in contrast to everything we said about not picking one thing, and I'm going to ask you to pick a thing, and I'm going to ask you, I'm not asking right now.
Okay.
I'm about to ask in like 30 seconds, but I'm going to ask you what the title would be to your book or documentary of your life. I'm going to ask that in like 30 seconds. But
okay.
just to say, you know, start to think about a curse.
I've got it. Don't worry.
You've podcasted before too. That was very obvious. But no, I think it's like fascinating because this question about like, if your life were a book or documentary, what would the title be and why? But the other reality is that it's like our lives and our stories are so complicated, and I don't know how you're going to write a book about your life at any point, because it's either going to be insanely long. It better be an audiobook, or else I'm going to riot, because like, what? Come on. That's us. Even like,
I have the equipment. I could record an audiobook.
You have a good mic on you.
Maybe
you
should.
Like,
hey, should it be a podcast?
I'm just picturing you doing like a 50 part podcast about your life, but on YouTube, like live stream or Twitch too. You can do it on Twitch.
It
I don't know.
Yeah.
We could transcribe the podcast, turn it into a book. Not a bad idea. But speaking of books, because I'll just pretend that I didn't just totally ask the question already. Like, if your life, person, were a book or a documentary, what would the title be and why?
So, I think for obvious reasons, mainly because of branding, my book would clearly be called Kirsten Said What?
Oh, wow. I thought it was going to be Surf's Up for a second or something.
No. Oh, my God. And that the Surf's Up is so stupid.
Surf's Up, dude.
The surf is up. The tide is so high that the surf has to be up.
Do you want to start? Are you going to start singing? Damn.
Yeah, the tide is high.
We'll leave that for, we don't want to get sued and removed.
Yeah, we sound exactly like the Atomic Kittens covering that song.
That was, that's so right.
We would definitely get a DMCA strike.
That's it. This is exactly it. So Kirsten said, why?
Because what?
Other
listen, it would be like the ramblings of a loud mouth would be like the semicolon or something like that. Like, because I think that a very common thread as well throughout all of these stories is like, this girl does not shut up. I don't know how. I never have and I never will. So,
yeah, but like, why should you shut up? Like, what is the point?
I'm not saying that I should.
Oh, I know you don't. I simply won't. But like, there are people who obviously think, you know what? We're just going to have this podcast go on indefinitely. This is going to be the longest podcast ever because Kirsten's never going to shut up. I don't need to shut up. You don't want to hear it. I don't know why I'm trying to.
Yeah, let's set a world record right now. But no, actually, I have to stream.
Yeah,
soon,
no.
So.
Yeah, no. Same. But yeah, no. I think that this is. I think that it's beautiful, and I'm just glad that people are tuning in and listening. And that's like one of my favorite parts of just being able to podcast, but also podcast with you is that like literally we know that people who are tuning in and hearing your voice are like the people who need to hear this, who want to hear it. I mean, as we close out, though, like, is there anything that you want to say to those people who I'm assuming are not hate listening? Maybe they love you. Maybe they'd love to hear from you.
Oh, my God. My haters make me famous. No, just kidding. I'm kidding. Obviously, like, all I'd want to say is just thank you so much. Like, I don't know if it always comes across, but being a content creator is the greatest joy in my life, and it is so much fun, and I feel like I'm constantly learning, and I have built a little slice of the internet that is so positive and amazing, and I love being there, and I'm so grateful to the people who make that possible, and just thank you so much to the people who are still caring about what I have to say.
Well, damn. I don't. Yeah. Any. I don't know. That's beautiful. Any other closing words? Do you have? I asked Mari recently to like.
When she just said bye or like.
Yeah.
That was great. I love Mari. That was a great interview.
Do you have a sign off for me?
A sign off for you? Well, obviously, everybody, if you're listening to this, you want to hear more from Matt Scott. So go listen to him over on the Wrestling or Hap Up with Mari every week. They are doing great work. Who's your guest this week?
Do you know?
Mari does that. Shit. Mari is scheduled probably an amazing guest this week because she's great. So go check out the Wrestling or Hap Up. Also, check out the Pod Friends feed, which I hope exists by now.
Let's hope.
Apple Podcasts, and give it a 5-star review. We accept 5-star reviews only. If you have less than 5 stars to give, we don't care what you have to say. Also, follow me everywhere at Kirsten Said What, and check out twitch.tv. Anyways, we'll see you next week on Pod Friends. Bye!
Bye, Pod Friends! Thank you, everyone, for listening to Pod Friends, for watching Pod Friends. Hopefully, you were able to watch and take it all in. I loved this conversation with Kirsten, and I really hope that you did, too. And, you know, really, I hope you enjoyed the other Pod Friends conversations. Feel free to go back and hear from the others. And please, again, stop. Pause even now if you want. You could tune me out for the rest of this if you pause to leave a review or leave a rating or do all of it, actually, because it'll go a long way to being sure that more of these stories from this Rob Has a Podcast universe could be heard and seen by people in our community. And there are definitely way more stories that deserve to be seen and heard. And so I hope that you could let me know, let the people know what you think, and spread the word about Pod Friends. But Again, follow PodFriends at Hey PodFriends, PodFriends at RobHisWebsite.com. If you want to suggest guests, bit.ly/PodFriendsNom. Check out the show notes for even more, including a link to the Brain Tumor Foundation of Canada, a link to the Dinner Party Grief Resource. And until next time, just want to thank you so much for being with me on the journey, for your love, for your support. It really means a lot. And as always, thank you for being a pod friend.